The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, well, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. And welcome to the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Outside of the Bible, the story of Our Lady of Guadalupe just might be the best example of God's direct intervention into human history and of the power of the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary that you will ever find. So let's tell the story today, okay? Tell the story of Our Lady of Guadalupe. The story starts in the year 1519, when the great Spanish conquistador Hernan Cortes conquered the Aztec Empire and deposed their powerful leader, Montezuma. He did this in only 2 years because he had the help of hundreds of thousands of local native peoples who all joined the Spanish to depose the Aztecs. Why did they do that? Because they hated the Aztecs. Why did they hate the Aztecs? Well, among other reasons, because the Aztecs practiced a barbaric religion of cannibalism and ritual human sacrifice. It was all centered around one of their deities who was known as Huitzilopochtli, the god of the sun. Huitzilopochtli, they called him. And every year, as the calendar neared the date of the winter solstice and the days grew shorter and shorter, the priests of Huitzilopochtli believed that they could keep the sun alive if they offered human sacrifice to the god of the sun. And this they did, no exaggeration, cutting open the beating human heart from a living victim and holding it aloft. They believed the spirit of the man went to the spirit of the sun, and this kept the sun burning for another year. Now, there's been lots of estimates as to how many people were killed, but a conservative estimate, and it certainly could be more, was that 20,000 people a year were sacrificed to the god of the sun in this brutal, barbaric, and quite honestly, demonic religion. When Cortes saw this, when he arrived at the capital city, he saw the sacrificial altars, he saw the discarded corpses, he saw the cascading blood come down from the tops of the step pyramids. He ran up to the top of one of those pyramids and, holding a crucifix aloft in his hand, he cried out to anyone who would hear, "There's already been one sacrifice for all. There's need for no more of this." But nobody listened to him. So he wrote to the Spanish crown. He said, "Send missionaries, proclaim the gospel," and they did. God bless them, they sent Franciscan missionaries from Spain, and for 10 years they preached till they were blue in the face. Nobody listened. Nothing changed. Nothing changed, that is, until the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe. The year was 1531, and a humble little Aztec man who had taken the Spanish name of Juan Diego was ambling about in the outskirts of the capital city, what's today Mexico City, what was then known as Tenochtitlan, when suddenly he heard the most beautiful music that he'd ever heard in his life wafting down from the top of a craggy hill that was known as Tepeyac. He ran up to the top of the hill to see where this music was coming from, when there he beheld a vision. A mystical lady, a beautiful woman from heaven who told him, "I am the mother of God, and I have chosen you. Go now to the bishop and tell him he is to build a church on the top of Tepeyac Hill." And so dutifully, Juan Diego ran down the hill and across the town and found the bishop of Mexico and said, "Bishop, bishop, a beautiful lady from heaven appeared to me, and she said, you're supposed to build a church at the top of Tepeyac Hill." Well, you can imagine how well that meeting went. And they ushered him out of the room, and Juan Diego walked away, shamefaced and humiliated, and ready to quit. A couple of days later, he saw the lady again. And once again she said, "I want you to go to the bishop and tell the bishop he is to build a church at the top of Tepeyac Hill." And Juan Diego said, "I am a man of no importance. No one will listen to me. No one will ever believe me." And the lady said, "Go now to the top of Tepeyac Hill, and there you will find a sign. Bring that sign to the bishop, and he will believe you." So he climbed the hill, and much to his astonishment, there at the top of Tepeyac Hill were dozens and dozens of the most beautiful, long-stemmed Castilian roses. And these, in the depths of December, at the top of a hill that was so squalid it could barely give life to a cactus. Now, in the Aztec culture, when one noble sent the message to another, he would send ahead of him a messenger carrying flowers. And so Juan Diego thought to himself, "Oh, this makes perfect sense. I am now the ambassador from heaven." And he gathered up the flowers enthusiastically into his cloak, and he went to the bishop and he said, "Bishop, bishop, a lady from heaven has asked you to build a church at the top of Tepeyac Hill, and this is the sign she's given to you." And he opened up his cloak, and out cascaded a beautiful cascade of long-stemmed red Castilian roses, and everyone in the room gasped. And the bishop fell to his knees. But it wasn't because of the roses. It was because, miraculously imprinted onto the fabric of Juan Diego's cloak, was an image of the lady from heaven. "What did that lady say her name was?" the bishop asked Juan Diego. And Juan Diego replied, "She said, her name is Tlecuatlisupe." And the bishop said, "Ah, Guadalupe." Guadalupe was the name of a Marian pilgrimage shrine in Spain, well known and beloved to all native Spaniards. But Juan Diego didn't say her name was Guadalupe. Juan Diego, speaking in his own native Nahuatl language, said, "Her name is Tlecuatlisupe, a name which means she who will crush the head of the serpent." Now, here in the gospel, we heard the story of the visitation of the Blessed Mother to a cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth cried out in a loud voice, "Most blessed are you among women." Those words are uttered three times in the Bible, three times, to three different women. One woman named Jael, one woman named Judith, and of course to the Mother of God. What did these three women all have in common? One thing. All three of them crushed the head of the leader of the armies of their enemy, crushed their head in battle. Jael against the leader of the Canaanites, Judith against the leader of the Assyrians, and the Blessed Mother fulfilling the prophecy that was uttered in the book of Genesis. Figuratively speaking now, with the birth of Christ, crushed the head of the serpent, the ancient enemy, known as Lucifer or the devil. But what's so important for us to remember is that that great victory, that crushing of the head of evil, has been delegated to her by God and is still playing out in history even as we speak, and certainly for the peoples of Latin America in Our Lady of Guadalupe. In the Mesoamerican pantheon of gods, three in particular were of prominence and importance. Huitzilopochtli, the god of the sun, Metztli, the god of the moon, and Quetzalcoatl, the god of the heavens. Miraculously imprinted onto Juan Diego's cloak was the image of the heavenly lady wearing the heavens like a cloak, eclipsing the sun, and standing on the moon. But the woman herself was not the divinity, no. Her head bowed in prayer, her hands folded in adoration. She's awaiting the God to be born from her, because right over her abdomen sat the four-petaled image of divinity that the Aztecs revered, the four cardinal points of the compass, north, south, east, west. It had an image of divinity that was a four-petaled compass right over her abdomen, and right on top of that, the black bands that an Aztec woman would wear when she was expecting a child. The woman's hair pulled back like a virgin. Aztec women always wore their hair in braids when they were mothers, but before that, they always had it pulled back as a sign that they were unmarried. All that the Franciscan missionaries had said of this woman was true. But what really spoke to the native peoples was that she was an Aztec. She was one of them. When the people saw the image on Juan Diego's cloak, they lined up by the thousands and the tens of thousands to ask to be baptized. In 1517, Martin Luther led 9 million people away from the Catholic faith in the continent of Europe. And in just 2 years, the Blessed Virgin Mary brought more than 9 million people back to the faith in the New World. They say that when the priests were finished baptizing at the end of the day, they could not lift their arms. So weary were they from baptizing so many people who had lined up to request. There's two reasons why I love Our Lady of Guadalupe. Here's the first. It reminds us that when we cannot save ourselves, God comes to our rescue. He's done it before. He did it with Moses at the Red Sea. He did it with Daniel in the lion's den. He did it with the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. And of course, greatest of all, he did it with the birth of Christ our Lord, born of the woman who will crush the head of the serpent. And from that time forward, all victories over evil are going to come through her. You look around you in the world and I don't know what you think. Maybe you think that if we just elect the right people and pass the right laws, we're going to dig our way out of this hole. Personally, I don't think we ever can. I think that God needs to come to our assistance. But I'm telling you, when he does, he's going to do it through her. But it won't happen passively. Because the second great thing about Our Lady of Guadalupe is that it tells us that we need to cooperate, however small our role is, in bringing about God's great plan. When the Blessed Mother spoke to Juan Diego, she said, "I've chosen you." And he protested. He says, "I'm the wrong man. Choose someone else." And she says, "I've chosen you. Now go and do your part." The evils in the world, the evils in our country, perhaps even the evils in your own life, they're overwhelming. They're too great for you to conquer. But can you cooperate with our Lord? Can you now go and do your part? Yes, we can. To help bring about the great victory that our Lord is destined to bring about through the intercession of Mary. We'll ask for her prayers to help us today. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us.